Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Even More News. I'm Katie Stoll.
Hi, my name is Cody Johnston.
And we're really grateful that you're here joining us again.
Very grateful.
Or for the first time, either or.
More grateful if you're returning than if you're here for the first time.
Yeah, but if you're here for the first time, welcome.
And if you come back next week, then I'll be very grateful. I'll be equally as grateful for you next week as I am for the people who are returning this week.
But the people who are returning next week and are returning this week,
if they're, like, yeah, if they're the third, most grateful. If they're third listeners next week, then I will be more grateful for them then than I will be for you then.
So it's, you know, all about how you want us to feel about you, I guess.
Yeah.
But hi, how's it going, Cody? How's, I know you're working on the show, you're riding, you're prepping for this weekend.
That's true. Yeah. This is, it's actually an interesting week because this is the first week that we are doing the podcast in the same week that I'm writing the show. Last week we made the show and it came out on the internet for people to watch.
That's right.
And then we recorded the podcast as sort of like follow-ups. Here are the stories that have continued and then some new stuff. And that was easier because it was sort of already in the brain and I wasn't ready to write the show. Whereas this week it was harder for me to pick topics and things I wanted to talk about because I'm in the process of collecting everything for the actual show. And so I don't want to retread stuff. Or, you know, develop it here and then, like, have a polished version later and stuff like that. So,
although I think, I don't know, what do you guys think out there, listeners? Do you care? Like, there's an element of that's interesting of getting the inside scoop, kind of, or, like, hearing your thoughts about something. But
I agree with you completely.
You agree with me completely, but.
But, I'm just not sure if that's what people want or if that's something that we need out there.
So that's why this week's different. It's going to be all new topics for the most part. Oh, it's interesting. I've got a phone call coming in and I'm seeing it on my computer and that was very distracting.
Who is it from?
I don't know. Some 650. So
scam likely?
Bay Area.
Anyone else get those scam likely numbers?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a great name for like a character, like a person.
Oh, sure.
Like not scam like likely is calling you.
Yeah. Is he like some sort of like noir character?
He's definitely
maybe
a grifter of some kind.
Sure.
Talks like this, you know?
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
The gig is up.
He wears a lot of hats on top of his other hats.
Oh, cute.
So you can tell that he's not on the level.
Yeah.
All right, scam, get out of here.
Let's just dive into some stuff. I wanted to briefly address Roseanne, because everyone seems to have really strong opinions about it.
Oh yeah.
And I get that. I totally get that. I've gotten a lot of guff online because I tweeted my support for the show because I watched the first two episodes and they're good. They're like pretty good sitcom. It's a great cast. I find like the topics are really important. She doesn't talk about Trump. The first episode apparently is the only one where they talk about politics at all. And even in the world of the show, she's the only Trump supporter. So it doesn't feel like it's shoving somebody's agenda down your throat.
Even like the rest of the family?
No, the rest John of the Goodman family is not. I mean, like, we don't actually hear who he voted for, but he, you know, he's just like trying to like keep the peace, essentially.
Voice of reason.
The voice of reason. And Sarah Gilbert is so good. Both episodes made me tear up. I'm a very vocal critic of people that, you know, I don't support, you know, especially with the Me Too movement and everything. And that's what a lot of people were saying to me, saying like in this era, I don't feel comfortable supporting people that are so toxic. And I get that. I totally get that. But it's tricky. It's a tricky line. But what I was also going to say is that it is becoming very difficult to keep supporting her show because she keeps going further down the rabbit hole of insanity. And it's like,
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't even say that she's going further down the rabbit hole.
Sure.
It's just she's always been deep in that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And now that she's got a show again, people are like, oh, yeah.
And they're paying attention.
She's a pizza gator.
Which is what it's so hard because what they say officially is the goal of the show, to unite, to show that people can heal from this and how we can move forward as a nation. And that is important.
Sure.
But then she's just continuing to be abusive and like absolutely nuts online. And that does give me a lot of concern because she's super in the spotlight right now.
Yeah. And her stated goal is in conflict with her as a person.
But with her actions, and that's what's upsetting.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to enjoy the show.
I understand that need, that love of wanting, of Roseanne back in the day.
Yeah.
I know you sent me, because I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, you had thoughts on that clip I sent.
Oh, yeah, you sent me this clip of, it was her talking to, I guess, her grandson?
Yeah, it's her grandson.
About wanting to dress like a girl?
Yeah, because like he dresses like a little girl. He likes the outfits.
Mm-hmm.
She likes the color and whatnot. And he's going to a new school, and the family's concerned that he's going to get beat up.
Sure.
Or picked on. So she sits down and has a conversation with him about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. My immediate reaction to that was, is that even a thing? Like, kids are more accepting these days, more and more. And the idea of, like, you're going to get beat up for being different seems it seems old to me. Like, that seems like a thing from, like, decades.
Or
like, okay.
Teased, absolutely.
I'm sure teased and stuff, but, like, I don't know. It was just,
you mean,
like,
thanks to Melania's anti-bullying
initiative. Yeah, she's done a lot.
I thought we eradicated bullying.
She's been in the White House.
So what's the point?
No. Not to say that kids don't bully people, but like this, like they're also more accepting these days.
I think that that's true, but I also don't. I definitely don't think that's completely true.
Sure.
You agree with me completely. I thought it was important. The course of the conversation was basically her sitting him down and being like, first she's like, do you identify as a girl or a boy? And he's like, a boy. I just like these clothes. And then she's like, okay, so how important is this to you? It's really important. And she goes, I just want to make sure you're picking your battles. But if this is what you believe, then we're here for you. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know, like, touched me.
I hear you. That's a touching sitcom moment.
I wish that Roseanne would say that and have that same opinion in her real life when she interacts with other people.
Right. That's sort of the thing. And I've seen two different takes on that from both the left and the right. And they're both kind of the same take.
Yeah.
Which is basically, I like Ben Shapiro did a thread on this. I forget who was the liberal that did, but basically her goal is to, you know, bring people together and show, like, you know, not all Trump voters are this way or
right.
this way or this way. You can be, I guess, like, fiscally Trumpian, but socially liberal. And basically, the idea is that, well, like, that's not very representative, actually,
yeah.
of, like, Trump voters. Like, the average, and I, you know, I don't want to generalize, but, like, the average Trump voter isn't going to be so accepting of their grandson who wants to dress like a girl, you know.
Yeah.
Like there is a rift culturally between Trump voters and, like, a liberal mindset, and I think there's an element of, like, okay, you're sort of, like, throwing a bone to, like, liberal Hollywood by claiming that, like, oh, you know, I'm accepting of this, and then on the other end sort of doing a disservice to real conservatives who reject that idea.
Sure.
At all.
I think Chase Mitchell had a good tweet about it. I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't know. But he was like, if Roseanne teaches some Midwestern Southern person to accept a trans kid and a biracial kid, then I can put up with some shitty pantsuit jokes.
Sure.
And I like that attitude, that meant, or something like that. But I like that mentality of, like, okay, the idea that maybe this is about showing people who would readily disagree with it and maybe don't like that she did that. Maybe that at least some of them will come around.
I would agree with that, or at least I hope that that happens. I have an issue, I think, with that she's sort of saying, like, this is an honest portrayal.
Right.
As opposed to saying, like, no, this is what I want people to aspire to be.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily honest to say, well, you know, Trump voters are like this, but they're not racist, or they think gender is whatever. But being able to say, not everyone's like this, I'm going to show you my ideal version of mm-hmm. how we can be.
Yeah, that's
And it doesn't
different.
Seem like that's what she's saying she's
sure.
doing. So I don't know.
I get that.
But again, I haven't seen it, so
we saw
wipe
that clip.
My opinions from your memory.
let's talk about Trump's DACA tweet, you know?
Oh, good.
That whole thing? What do you think about that?
Oh, there's so many things about it. Which DACA tweet are you talking about?
Okay, well, I don't know, all of them. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here is the thing. Let's read it out loud for our
okay, I'm going to do my best, like, Trump voice.
Great.
All right. DACA is dead because the Democrats didn't care or act, and now everyone wants to get onto the DACA bandwagon. No longer works. Must build wall and secure our borders with proper border legislation. Democrats want no borders, hence drugs and crime. First of all...
Was this the one on Sunday?
This was... it would have been on Sunday, yeah.
Okay,
this was yesterday.
Yeah.
There have been more since then.
There have been more since then. We'll get to that.
We have 280 characters on Twitter now. And I get that he used to cut words.
Sure.
And speak like a bit of a fool in the past on his tweets. He doesn't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
He does not need to cut so many words from his tweets.
Well, do you think that he's always written in tweet? Like, that's just how he writes his emails. That's just how he's always, you know what I mean? Like, he's always just been like how sure. He jots his notes to himself.
That's possible. Because I think also sometimes when he tweets, he's dictating. Like, he's shouting a thing. And then someone's like, oh, okay, I got to get this down. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It's just when I read that, I'm like, dude, you don't need to cut ands and thes.
Yeah.
We're right here. You've got more characters to do that.
Who's got the time, Cody?
He does.
He does.
I know he's the president, but he definitely has the time.
When I saw that tweet, I was pretty sure it was because of this story about these migrants coming from Honduras. Mm. And I was like, I'm sure that sparked it. And then sure enough, that is 100% what sparked it.
Awesome.
Because now we get today's tweets. And
that's my favorite thing when you see a thing where it's not my favorite thing. I hate it. You see him say something and you're like, oh, I bet that has to do with this other
thing.
Or the opposite, where you see a thing and you're like, oh, I bet he's gonna mention that. Like, there yesterday, or I think this morning actually, someone mentioned like, oh yeah, on Fox News this morning, they mentioned the post office and how we should privatize the post office. Literally 40 minutes later, he's like railing against the post office. Any instance like that. I know there was something a few weeks ago where he vetoed someone trying to buy Qualcomm.
Okay.
And he vetoed it. And I'm just waiting for like a month from now to be like, oh, his buddy did it instead.
Right.
You know, he's like, no, you can't, this deal can't go through because I know people that want the deal.
Absolutely. You know? That's one of those things that you kind of have to put a pin in and like try to remember it. And
right. You're going to see those words again in a couple of weeks or a month.
We should start making a list of stuff that we're like, that's coming, and like set recurring reminders.
Yeah.
To like check in on that. Like,
yeah, just like, yeah, get your Trump alerts for Qualcomm.
Yeah, like, oh, this is a thing. Okay. And you're pretty soon your whole calendar would be filled with it. That's the nauseating part.
No, I don't use my calendar anyway. So,
okay.
Well, gotta use it for something.
We'll
the Honduras stuff that sparked this tweet.
There's basically, these are all, the country is in a lot of political turmoil, and there's this nonprofit that kind of organizes all of these migrants, and they come traveling through South America, through Mexico, to the U.S. in a huge caravan of people. There's like over 1,000 people all together.
Caravans
and
later.
Yes, exactly. And so these people have been making their way through Mexico, and there's so much there's power in numbers, and they're keeping each other safe, and it's really beautiful, and they're seeking asylum. And now he's conflating that's what sparked this whole DACA thing, because he's conflating these migrants seeking asylum with Mexican immigrants.
Yep.
And
literally his tweet from 18 minutes ago, Honduras, Mexico, and many other countries.
It's so awful. These are people fleeing danger, you know, and they've put their whole life savings into it, you know, and but it is really beautiful. Like, I saw that story and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I was like, oh no, what's going
to
happen?
Wait,
and then I saw
hours.
That tweet and knew it. And now here's all of this. But that's why he's been railing and saying like, DACA is dead or whatever his tweets are there.
Oh yeah.
Know?
The Democrats like missed their chance or whatever. Like, DACA is dead because the Democrats didn't care act. No, it's dead because you took it off the table and then you put it on as like a weird, like, art of the deal bullshit thing.
Unbelievable.
And it's his fault. I mean, everything.
Does he believe what he's saying?
I think a lot of the times he does, because I think he is, he's so entrenched in his own thoughts and that he's right. But also he says whatever he heard last.
Yeah.
I mean, his brain is broken, so it's really hard to say if he believes it or not.
I don't know the tweet off the top of my head, but he said something like, they're going to be trying to get involved in DACA. You know, that's what these people are coming for. No, it's not. That's not how DACA works.
I love that's yes.
It's
I love it.
It's so unbelievably dumb.
Right. This is, it's so funny that you brought this up now, because the tweet we're talking about is from 13 hours ago.
Okay.
DACA is dead because the Democrats didn't care or act, and now everyone's to get on the DACA bandwagon. No longer works. And so on and so forth. Talks about the wall and all that. You remember my great impression of him. And
it was
then,
really good. That was spot on.
Thank you. I've been working on it for the show. So then, oh my God, amazing. So he's been saying this a lot, like DACA, you know, they're all trying to take advantage of DACA, when like that just tells you that he fundamentally does not understand what DACA is or how it works. You don't just like come to America and then take advantage of DACA. That's not what the program is for. That's not who the program is for. You fucking moron, or liar, or both. But then, so then, this is from 31 minutes ago.
Oh God. Yeah. Get him off the internet.
As ridiculous as it sounds. Yeah. Brace for it, Mr. President. As ridiculous as it sounds, the laws of our country do not easily allow us to send those crossing our southern border back where they came from. A whole big wasted procedure must take place. Mexico and Canada have tough immigration laws, whereas ours are an Obama joke. All caps, act Congress. No comma, no punctuation at all. So first of all, again, you've got 280 characters, add a comma, an exclamation point, act Congress, and like, yeah, bring Obama into it because you hate him, but he's such a dangerous man to be in charge. When he says, aside from not understanding what DACA is, this is another reason he's just a dangerous person to be in charge. As ridiculous as it sounds, the laws of our country do not easily allow us to send those crossing our southern border back where they came from. A whole big wasted procedure must take place. What he's referring to is due process, which every person has a right to. And he's said this before about guns. He's like, to hell with due process. I'm just going to take the guns. And the NRA seems fine with that. But he's saying the whole wasted process, that's due process. You maniac.
That's like the basis of our country.
It's right there.
Yeah.
That's like one of the, that's one of the things that's really good. It keeps us all together. And it's just amazing that he flippantly says that, because he can also frame it like that's not what he's referring to.
Right.
Like he'll be able to talk himself out of it if anyone holds him accountable for this. Or, you know...
Well, he can talk his way out of anything, apparently.
Right. And it's just like... Because also... And I haven't looked into his mentions, because that sounds like a real miserable time for everybody.
Oh, don't do it to yourself.
But so he's talking about due process. And inevitably, someone is going to say, yeah, but they're here illegally. They're illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. Or they might say illegal aliens, or however they phrase it. Right. And it always comes to that. But illegal immigrants are protected under the Constitution.
Yep.
And that's just a fact that I don't think he gets, and I don't think a lot of people get, especially like on the right, who are very vocal, a lot of pundits, they're protected under the Constitution. It's been decided by the Supreme Court many, many times. Literally just Google the phrase Constitution illegal immigrants protection. You will find all of the evidence you need that tells you that they are protected under the Constitution, even if they are here illegally.
Yeah. I think that whole wasted procedure or whatever shows that he does know. But then I guess that's the crux of it, isn't it? He doesn't want people that aren't from here to have the same rights.
Yeah.
Or to be here. He also tweeted about Sinclair.
He did tweet that. He's also tweeting literally right now.
Well, you know, I think that there's some shit going down in the White House as we speak. I think that there's something, like, some craziness is going on. Some news is about to break. And we're going to be like, yep, Monday, he was tweeting upset things all day.
All day.
Literally
like,
it's been
even...
This will be old news by the time you hear it, but it's fresh for us.
It's fresh for us. Like, and, like, he's literally just 2 minutes ago tweeted about his approval rating.
We could just make this whole podcast about refreshing his Twitter feed.
I don't want to, but we could.
Do you want to talk about Sinclair? Or are you going to put that in the show this week?
I mean, I probably will put it in the show, but I just think it's...
We're talking about Sinclair Broadcasting, which is set to take over how many stations? Or like, what's the percentage of the country
I can't answer that
A lot. It's going to be a lot. But there's this video going around, if you haven't seen it, of all of these Sinclair stations.
Yeah, they're just affiliates throughout the country. Yeah. Like local news stations.
Just literally reciting the exact same script. Just updating what their locations are. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's pretty chilling.
Yeah, it's a bizarre video. And this, I mean, this is something that Sinclair does. And they also have, you know, they send out, here's this person and their opinion piece about, God, he rails against like feminism, like all the thing, all the culture war stuff that you can imagine. And they have to air them on their local news affiliates. And they're not, it's not local news. It's just some dude's Sinclair Trumpian opinion. One of them used to be on his, an aide for the president, and now he works for Sinclair. It's so obvious. And you get all these people on the right today, especially like saying, oh, you know, imagine if CNN read this, you wouldn't think anything of it. And it's just like, it's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
And you can criticize CNN. I try to, because like it,
I do plenty with their headlines and stuff, but
right. But like the idea that like by having a an anchor, and I'm mostly referring to a specific Ben Shapiro tweet because that's,
yeah, sure,
my go-to get angry at people.
Do you have his tweets on alert?
Oh God, no. Okay, I would go insane. That sounds miserable. What a what a awful, like, okay, human experience.
I'm sorry for the suggestion.
Don't, nobody do that. Nobody listen to Katie. Why would you suggest that?
Well, it was more of a question. You're just so it on top of it. Otherwise, are you just going to his timeline every so often or every day?
Well, I follow him. And so I see him. And then if I see something, then I'm like, oh, come on, man. Then what you are you talking about? Sure. Then I'll go and then I'll end up at his timeline and I'll go through him like, God, come on, man. What are you talking about? What do you even mean by this? You fucking liar. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't get alerts. For him. but he's like, yeah, imagine even if like Brian Stelzer read this, it would be like, imagine that. It's like, no, man, if you're an anchor on CNN and you say, CNN, most trusted in news, you're just saying the slogan of the CNN. It's, right. It literally says CNN at the bottom of your screen. You know what you're getting into. You know why you're there. It's why when you watch Fox News and they say fair and balanced many years ago, that's ours now, obviously.
Registered
trademark. Registered trademark, copyright, all of it. But if you do that, and you're on Fox News and say fair and balanced, that's, yeah, it's, they're full of shit, but it's not deceptive in this way where Sinclair Media Group has a message. It's a very specific message that they're trying to put out through their affiliates, and it doesn't say ABC Sinclair Media Group. It says ABC 32 or whatever. Like, it's
so you
just
can't
like
distinguish.
A random, like in Fresno or in Austin or wherever. Yeah. It's just the local news. So you're getting fed this propaganda.
It's propaganda. That's exactly what it is. And it's dangerous.
And like, you can say CNN is propaganda if you want. You can say Fox News is propaganda if you want.
Yeah,
they're,
but this
obviously
is different.
Different.
This is like state-run propaganda.
Right. It's different. It's a clear like media conglomerate putting forth this propaganda secretly through the face of like the trusted local news people. And it's very sinister and it's gross. Just look into Sinclair Media if you don't know about it. But the idea that it's not a big deal is so nuts to me. And like, and in Ben's tweet, he was like, this ad, you know, it's just like any ad. It's like, first of all, no, it's not an ad.
Yeah.
You're calling it an ad and it's not an ad. You're so disingenuous.
Disingenuous.
He's a very disingenuous, gentleman. And the idea that it's an ad is insane because, no, it's like literally the anchors reading this statement.
Yeah.
That's not an advertisement.
But he doesn't care. If it was a company doing this that had a liberal agenda, he would
be freaking out. And so, like, you need to hold both sides accountable for their bullshit, but like, you also need to be aware of the false equivalence that you're presenting. And that's just what it is. Like, you know, and people like Dave Rubin rail against the mainstream media and their dishonesty. Not a peep about the very obvious Sinclair propaganda that's being put forth through all these local affiliates. And maybe that has something to do with the fact that, I don't know, he's funded by the Koch brothers.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. But maybe.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
The presenting sponsor of Even More News is Buddy Foot Gloves. The socks that you can order from an application on your phone and have those socks delivered to you. They're friendly and they are like gloves, but for your feet. You download it and then you click the buttons and you say, "Buddy Foot Gloves, please." You say it out loud and your phone will hear you because it's listening to you at all times. And it will indicate they want an order of the socks.
So have you tried these socks?
I've started a petition for this company to exist.
Oh.
I urge everyone to go to petition.org / Buddy Foot Gloves, please. This is a good idea. .html / come on. So you sign it and it's a petition. It says, "This is a good idea for a company that should exist." And then there's a second paragraph that says, "Once this becomes a company, they should buy ad space on Even More News," because they don't have anybody doing that yet.
So this is Even More News is being brought to you by a petition by the people who created Buddy Foot Gloves.
The presenting sponsor of Even More News is brought to you by a petition that I think everybody should sign about how Buddy Foot Gloves is a good idea for a company. They deliver gloves for your feet to your door. Use promo code, yeah, good idea, Cody, and get 5% off your internet bill.
I'm making the wrap it up song.
But this is good stuff, because it thank you for your money, and thank you, and back to the show.
And we're back. Great. So what else are we going to talk about today? Stephen Clark. Well, if you haven't seen it, it's tragic. In Sacramento, a black man was shot 8 times.
In his backyard.
In his backyard, reaching for his cell phone, which is the cops thought was a gun. It was a cell phone that he was reaching for in his backyard, and he was shot 6 times in the back. Even if he did have a gun and it was in his backyard and he was a threat, couldn't a shot to the leg?
Yeah, I think I know that shooting a gun is difficult in high-stress situations, so even police officers are not good shots.
Yeah.
And I believe they're taught to shoot for death.
They're taught to shoot for death?
Well, I think it's just a matter of their safety, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it, upsetting. Obviously, it's terrible and just another example of this systematic issue that communities of color have to deal with. The idea that he was shot in the back, the idea that anybody is shot in the back.
Yeah.
If you're running from the police.
You're not a threat.
You're not a threat. And maybe you are, if you have a gun
and you're running
away from the cops and you're shooting forward at people.
Different story.
Never heard that story before.
Yeah.
Like the idea of shooting after somebody who's running away from you is just so bizarre to me. Like that's not justice. There's so many cases like this.
Especially after all of this, everything that we've been talking about for the last 5 years. I mean, longer than that, but
I mean our country's history, but yeah,
our country's history, obviously, but I mean specifically, like, it's a real, obviously a very heated issue that is on the forefront of our consciousness right now, and it's not like you they don't know not to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
but
again, like,
the guy got dismissed but isn't going to be held accountable, is that correct?
I am not sure. I know that this is just another example of, like, it feels like whenever there's a new shooting like this, you can call it a lynching, that's basically what it is, it's legal lynching. Every time this happens, it's always coupled with a court case of a cop getting off from a similar case from like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, this cop got off from that. You know, remember that thing that happened a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when they shot and killed an unarmed black man? Well, that cop's gonna get away with it. Oh, also, another situation like that just happened a couple of days ago. And actually, to make this a little lighter, could never fit this into anything, whether it be the news show or like After Hours.
Sure.
The idea that, Kay from Men in Black.
Yeah.
He's the worst cop imaginable. there's that moment in Men in Black, the science fiction movie, where I believe it's Tony Shalhoub. It's not Tony Shalhoub. It's just the bug. It's the bug man in the Edgar suit.
Ugh,
and he's running down the street. And Kay takes out Or is it J? K is...
I don't know. Do you want me to Google it?
It doesn't really matter. They're both letters.
J or K.
Will Smith's character pulls out his cricket, his little cricket gun, and he shoots after the bug.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones is like, I told you, we do not discharge our weapons in public. And like, that is, that's a real like Hollywood liberal kind of approach to like gun violence and like guns in general and like policing, because Tommy Lee Jones was saying, we don't discharge our weapons in public. They're sci-fi crazy laser weapons. We don't want people to know about us. But the actual problem is you don't shoot after a guy who's running away from you.
Yeah.
It's a public street. And if that wasn't a laser gun, if it was just a regular gun with regular bullets that kill people and he was shooting after him, that is a bad thing too.
Well, that hits on something that we talk about sometimes, which is if liberal West Coast elite snobs want to change the discourse around guns, it's how about we represent them better in film and TV? Yeah. What if we show, hey, when you shoot a gun, most of the times you don't hit the target you're aiming for.
You usually miss.
What about that? Or what about we tell stories where people aren't always shooting each other?
Right, or where the solution isn't guns. So many, I apparently, and you know, you have all these Hollywood actors in like, it's enough. It's time to change.
Yeah.
Talking directly to the camera in black and white for like gun control of some kind. But like half of them are constantly in movies where they glorify gun violence.
Yeah.
Apparently, Matt Damon doesn't do that anymore.
Which, okay. You know.
I mean, that's great. I have issues with him selling Stella Artois goblets to get water.
I think it's good that he's doing whatever to make water. He's been doing work for water for a long time, not just Stella.
But like those Stella Artois commercials. I don't care. it's infuriating. Buy this goblet and we'll give somebody a glass of water. Fuck off, Matt Damon.
I don't know. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I do not agree with you completely on that.
That's fine. I agree with you completely that you don't agree with me completely.
But I could really leave his... comments about women and in the Me Too movement very far outside.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Is that a metaphor? I could leave his comments outside.
I can leave those comments outside.
I like that now.
Yeah, let's leave those comments outside, Matt. But he has changed that.
I love that.
I believe it was in Dogma. There was a lot of gun use, and he had an issue with it. And he's like, "Hey, you know, Kevin Smith, can I not use a gun in this?" But it was necessary for whatever reason, so he did it. He slowly decided he just wasn't going to participate in that kind of thing anymore, which is great. I think more Hollywood people should do that.
Yeah.
It sort of ties into, like, I think in an old episode of the news show, I talked about this of like, it's the liberal Hollywood approach to stories and to how things should be preservation of the status quo in the guise of revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, you see it in like Star Wars, you see it in a lot of Marvel movies. Of like, well, we now have the evil people that we're fighting against.
Right.
And what we need to do is fight them. And then things can get back to normal. But like, normal was bad too. And I think in the same way of gun violence, like you need, like for stories to work, you need a boogeyman instead of addressing the actual thing and showing, like show stories where you don't need guns.
Exactly.
Be creative in your solutions. There was even in The Dark Knight Rises... a theme that came up a lot via Alfred. You know, Master Wayne is going to be...
Ooh, that's as good as your Trump.
It's real good. These immigrants, they're darker. he keeps bringing up like, there's just got to be a better way, Mr. Wayne.
Yeah.
How, you know, you don't dress up like a bat and then punch your way out of things. Like, there's a better way...
Than violence.
And in the middle of the movie, Alfred's like, oh, you don't agree with me. I'm leaving. So Alfred leaves.
Yeah.
And the end of the movie, he fights Bane in the street with his fists. And like then he like blows up an atomic bomb in the ocean. Like there was a good opportunity there to come up with some sort of way.
A diplomatic solution.
Not even diplomatic, just like something that wasn't like, okay, dress up like a bat and punch.
Yeah.
When you...
Like he didn't learn the lesson that he needed to learn.
Right. And I'm not even saying that like, all movies need that, or like even in a Batman movie. But when you have the moral compass of your film, bring up the idea that there is a better way,
and then don't
either
do it.
Show the better way or don't mention that.
I agree with that. I mean, I think a superhero movie is a very extreme circumstance,
sure.
But certainly in everything else that we watch, you know, I've been watching a lot of like British crime dramas lately, specifically Broadchurch, and I at first was so tense because these detectives keep going and investigating situations and they don't have guns and it makes me so uncomfortable. I'm like, why don't they have guns? And then I realized, because guns aren't legal there, the cops don't carry guns, and that's not the biggest threat to them. Sure, there are guns and there are British crime shows that have people using guns, but most of the plot lines don't circle around that. And it's just fascinating to me that, like, and people that are from over there, they don't think that that's weird. They don't, notice it.
They're not going to think about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, their conflicts don't revolve around guns, and their conflict solutions don't require guns.
Yeah.
And that's something that we, like, it's just like when you're, the resolution to your conflict requires gun violence, then maybe rethink how you're presenting it. If you really are serious about like the gun violence problem in America, or like gun culture.
And I do know a lot of writer friends who are talking about that, you know, or like trying to encourage each other to, you know, like Flint Wayness and wanting people to represent guns responsibly. And so hopefully we see more of that.
Yeah, that's great. I think a police officer got cut up by a samurai sword in UK. Like a couple of days ago or last
week. Really?
Yeah. Maybe not a samurai sword, maybe just a sword. I don't know if the type of sword matters.
It doesn't at all. It's awful.
It's also not really a point I'm making.
No. But,
what if
a kid brought a knife to a school? You know, are we going to ban knives?
Well, that's a bad point.
I was being sarcastic.
We're going to ban cars.
There are so many other things that I was anticipating us talking about, but you know, I don't know how much more time we got.
Do you want to do a quick rundown of the other stuff?
Okay. Maybe not so many things, but we kind of drifted away from, Stephen Clark and talking about that.
I mean, it's just disgusting. And like, it's just another one.
Yeah, it's another one. And then in the protests, did you see this? In the protests, the police ran over a woman and didn't stop. They drove away. I mean, she's okay, but they, you know, some minor injuries, but they just plowed her over.
Well, there's
maybe
that.
Hit her. I don't know.
Well, no, it's to serve and protect unless you're like in the way of my car.
And in which case, get out of there, fucker.
Or unless your back is turned to me and you're pulling out your cell phone.
Yeah.
Or unless, et cetera, and so forth. We also want to talk about that woman who is going to prison for voting.
Yes, that's right. The woman who's going to prison for voting.
Yeah.
So she was in jail, or maybe prison. She was an accountant, and so she did some like
tax fraud
for her clients and stuff like that. And so she was in jail, and she got out, and she was under the impression that she could vote in the election. So she voted. And now they have sentenced her to how long?
I think it's 5 years.
5 years in prison.
That's appalling.
Appalling.
Because first of all, she did her time. And I mean, it's just the whole idea. Like, I know, I think in Florida they tried to give felons the right to vote. And, like, there's a big reaction on the right, like, oh, we're going to let, like, felons vote now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
What's the point of serving your time and then being reintroduced into society if you're not allowed to be a human being with rights? And not every state has this.
But it's just a symptom of what's always gone on in this country is just massive attempt to disenfranchise communities of color and poor people. Like, there's a reason that you can't vote if you're a felon. There's a reason that slavery is illegal unless you're in prison. It's because then you have these people in power who can decide what are crimes. Then you can decide who goes to jail. Well, we don't want black people to vote. We don't want black people, we still want to have slaves. So I guess we'll just make sure that more black people go to prison for things that white people don't go to prison for.
Minorities in general.
Minorities in general. Like the what's that teen who got drunk and like killed those four people.
Yeah,
that affluenza
teen. The affluenza teen is such a nauseating story. If you guys aren't familiar, he was drunk and he hit a bunch of people who were helping somebody on the side of the road, and he killed four people. And his whole defense argument, which got him off on some very light sentence probation, was that he was so affluent that he didn't know
he
how
didn't know
to
any better.
Behave.
He didn't know any better. He didn't know not to hit those four people with his car. And he just got out.
But then he did it again. He got drunk in some other way.
God, what
again, and did something awful. I don't know off the top of my head.
Right.
But yeah, so he just got out.
But, you know, and it's, you know, more white people smoke weed than people of color, but more people of color are in prison for weed.
That's the thing, is that the crime. Yeah, and so people are getting locked up for doing minor offenses. Yeah, weed is a huge thing. And then losing their right to vote? Weed's legal in a lot of states. You know, it's
and
it's
not
very
even just
upsetting.
Like focusing on the weed, but like just like if you're in prison, you do your time.
I know.
Vote. Like,
I know.
Like every single human being should
get to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just another example of like, yeah, the 13th Amendment, it outlawed slavery, but not really. It just was just sneakier in how to enslave certain groups of people.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt that that's on the forefront of everybody's mind that incarcerates people.
Sure,
of
but
color.
Like that's what it.
But it.
But that's why it's there, and then time passes, and like that system is in place, and then like
it becomes entrenched.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Hard to escape it.
This is yeah, a depressing end here.
I think it's comedic.
Is it?
Well, Waka Waka.
Flocka flocka. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking of fart sound too. We should invest in some sound effects.
I would love a soundboard.
Can we get, I know, you guys, would you be okay if I did that? Sound effects. I didn't even do a good one. I love that one. It always makes me laugh. Are we over it yet? It makes me laugh.
Excellent. You know, just a bunch of like,
how about like
Burns and Stewie quotes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, baby.
Uh-huh.
Get some of that in there. I feel the need for speed. Is that a quote from Need for Speed?
It's something. How about a
Days of Thunder?
How about an all righty then?
Yeah. Smoking.
Do it. You know what? This isn't going well so far.
It's not the best, but also. It's a little ham horn for you.
I did not understand what that was.
It's just a woman saying ham. I believe it's Tracy Jordan's wife on 30 Rock.
All right, we're going to work
ham.
On this,
so there's
guys.
So there's literally an app just called Ham Horn, and it does that. Ham. And it does the rap horn. You got both.
Well, that's not the version of it I like, but we're going to work on this. We're going to workshop it. We're going to circle around back on this. And,
I don't know. I think it's perfect the way it is.
Everything's perfect. Before we go away, I was so close to wrapping it up. Hit like on our podcast, subscribe to it, do all that.
hit like and subscribe and comment.
Also, there's a video going to be coming out this weekend on Sunday.
Yeah, in a few days from when you're listening to this, check out that episode. Check us out on Patreon. I believe it's patreon.com/CodyJohnston to support this show and the other shows that we do. Thank you to everyone listening, and special thank you to all the patrons out there who have made this
possible. And that's a good ending spot. Bye.